Chief Medical Officer Dr. John Lee reports 505 COVID-19 tests carried out since Monday's report all are negative for SARS-CoV-2. There are 733 people in isolation, whether at a government facility or in their homes as required by the Medical Officer of Health. The total number of COVID-19 vaccines administered to date, 20,468, with 7,758 people having completed the two-dose course so far. Attorneys for the Cayman Islands government made submissions to the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council in the UK today. This comes after representatives for Chantal Day and Vicky Bodenbush put their case before the committee. The same-sex couple argued two points on appeal today. Does the Bill of Rights in the Constitution of the Cayman Islands provide a right for Ms. Day and Ms. Bush to access the institution of marriage? And if so, should the order of the Grand Court of the Cayman Islands, which modified the marriage law so that marriage is defined to mean the union between two people as one another's spouses, be restored? This comes as the couple appeals the decision by the Cayman Islands Court of Appeal that determined the right to marry under the Caymanian Constitution does not extend to same-sex couples. The Court of Appeal did, however, declare that Ms. Day and Ms. Bush were entitled to legal protection functionally equivalent to marriage. Cayman has since implemented the civil partnership law. A major announcement today on the medical front, details about the site of the new Aster Cayman Med City.
This is indeed exciting news, as this project, along with the other medical expansions announced last week, will certainly put the Cayman Islands on the map regionally as not only a preeminent healthcare tourism destination, but it will also provide many benefits to the people of these islands.
Premier the Honourable Alden McLaughlin at today's press conference, along with Minister of Health, the Honourable Dwayne Seymour, and Aster Cayman Project Director Jane Thompson.
And I'm delighted to confirm that the site is a site in West Bay, just along, just north of Jackson's Pond, immediately adjacent to the Aster Litibits Highway, and is bordered by the Badabunu Road.
The 40 acres of land was purchased from DART, and Mr. Thompson says the goal of Aster Cayman Med City is for the islands to become the destination for destination healthcare, and that involves making key decisions about location with that in mind.
And thus the importance of a location that provides great accessibility to the international guest. At the same time, given the quaternary level expertise we will establish here, we also set out to ensure that local residents will also have easy access to the comprehensive specialist services that we will bring to the Cayman Islands. This location serves both the needs and could not be more perfect.
Aster Cayman Med City plans to provide a tertiary and quaternary level hospital, along with assisted living facilities and a medical university. Just last week, Health City Cayman Islands announced it would be expanding to Caymana Bay. Preliminary results show the Department of Environment has managed to slow but not stop the spread of stony coral tissue loss disease. Department of Environment Deputy Director of Research and Assessment Tim Austin says the coral ravaging disease is progressing west towards Seven Mile Beach Marine Park.
The DOE is holding the meeting, hopefully, so that people that work in the water sports business can come to the meeting to find out where we are currently as the disease stands in Cayman and what the DOE is doing in order to try to prevent or reduce the spread of this disease. We want people to understand the DOE is working really hard. All efforts are going towards understanding the spread, understanding how this disease is impacting the reefs, and also how we're working with our regional partners to combat the disease.
Mr. Austin says the disease has yet to reach Cayman Brac or Little Cayman, but notes they do need more eyes on the problem.
We're hoping that dive operators and water sports operators will be able to assist the DOE by learning how to report the disease if they see it and learning what they can do to prevent the spread of it, disinfecting gear, working with boats, staying out of the area, just generally lots of information that we believe is key in preventing the spread of this disease.
The Department of Environment will be holding a meeting with local water sports and dive operators on Friday, that's February 26th, to discuss stony coral tissue loss. The meeting is from 1 to 3 at the Government Administration Building in room 1038. A second group of 48 reservists, 43 men and 5 women in the Cayman Islands, take part in a passing out parade this Sunday. The reservists have been in basic training since February 13th. Cayman Islands Regiment Lieutenant Halston Farley says one of the biggest remits in the regiment is humanitarian aid and disaster relief.
So this training will provide our troops with the requisite skills to be able to properly apply water rescue techniques to rescue persons who may be in distress in moderately shallow water. This is a bottom tier of our training, but a very essential part of what we are doing and why we exist.
His Excellency Governor Martin Roper and Premier the Honorable Alden McLaughlin are expected to attend the event at the Truman Bodden Sports Complex. A weak overall rating for Wesleyan Christian Academy after their second follow-through inspection since May 2019. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more.
During its initial baseline inspection in May 2019, Wesleyan Christian Academy, which caters to 94 students between the ages of 3 and 18, was judged to be weak, prompting a follow-through inspection a year later, which showed slow progress in addressing the five recommendations in the 2019 inspection report. This new follow-through inspection took place at the end of January, and it was determined by inspectors at the Office of Education Standards that the school had made satisfactory progress in addressing two of the five recommendations. Therefore, inspectors judged that there has been, again, weak progress overall. The recommendations raise standards in the high school by increasing leadership capacity, improving teaching, planning more challenging learning, improving support and guidance for students, and raising attainment in English, math, and science to be at least in line with international standards. The OES said the school made weak progress in addressing that recommendation. Raising attainment and progress in science for the younger students, satisfactory progress has been made. Improving teaching overall, weak progress. Improving learning, satisfactory progress. And improving the curriculum was judged to be weak. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Since the inspectors judged the school to be making weak progress, there will be a follow-through inspection of Wesleyan Christian Academy within 6 months. Safely disposing of batteries could prevent another landfill fire. Radio Cayman's Shanda Gallego has more.
The Department of Environmental Health, DEH, is urging residents to safely dispose batteries. This after a small fire broke out at the Georgetown landfill last week, caused by a phone battery. The DEH says thanks to the quick actions of the team at DEH, the battery was isolated and the fire extinguished. It's the third incident at the landfill in which a fire had been linked to a smoldering battery. The DEH explains as the batteries move around in large trucks during transport, or if they are pushed around in a landfill, they can be punctured, or pressure and heat can cause the battery to spark and ignite a fire. DEH Assistant Director of Solid Waste, Michael Hayworth, says lithium-ion batteries are often the cause of fires in landfills and other waste handling facilities. Although batteries are used in everyday items, rarely do we think of them as a hazard, as they are powering our smartphones, laptops, and watches. Yet, we must be mindful of the hidden dangers. With more than 50 recycling drop-off points for small batteries throughout the islands, Mr. Hayworth says it would be great to see the entire community recycling all their batteries. DEH encourages the public to dispose of their batteries in the recycling tubes found across the Cayman Islands at supermarkets and other commercial locations, and not in their regular garbage. Shanda Gallego, Radio Cayman News.
Government puts out a request for quotes after the launch of the new Georgetown free shuttle service.
The three-month pilot project has shown just what is possible. And so we have decided to extend it for another 3 months. And we want to encourage persons to utilize the service, particularly in the lunch hour and morning traffic times. This will help in reducing the congestion in the center of town.
Planning Minister, the Honorable Joey Hugh, tells Radio Cayman if successful, the program could see a further extension beyond the RFQ period of August 31st.
The shuttle service is averaging 500 people per week. Awareness about the shuttle is still growing, but local businesses are starting to show an interest in partnering with us to utilize the shuttle service.
The free hop-on, hop-off Georgetown shuttle service takes riders all around Georgetown and out to Kirk Market and Foster's in town. The shuttle runs daily from Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. That is your latest local news from Radio Cayman's Newsroom. I'm April Cummings.